listening to Can You Queer Me Now? Right here on KYRS, Medical Expert Can, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, always streaming live at KYRS.org. Welcome to another episode of Can You Queer Me Now? Right here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. We are so excited to have Jeremy from Stage Left on the show today. This episode has been pre-recorded on the Sunday previous, but we did it all in one take, so you're still getting that live feeling and all those details and fun and great conversations. We had a great chat about all things to do community theater, the queer community, and a lot of things going on in our world today. So thank you all so much for tuning into Can You Queer Me Now, where we talk about all things to do with the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning community from throughout the Inland Northwest. Here is our interview with Jeremy Whittington. So welcome, everyone. As I said in our intro, we have folks from Stage Left on today. Very excited to talk theater, community theater, everything that's going on, and why theater is important for queer folks. Because of course, this is Can You Queer Me Now? All about LGBTQ voices with throughout the Inland Northwest. And that's not just our celebrations like Pride or things like some of the awesome nonprofits like Odyssey Youth Movement or Spokane Pride or PFLAG. It's also within our arts communities and across lots of different organizations here in town. So I'm just gonna turn it over to our guest for him to introduce himself, as well as tell us a little bit about kind of what is Stage Left and what makes it unique compared to maybe some other theaters people might be familiar with in town.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Jeremy Whittington. I am the managing and artistic director at Stage Left Theater right in downtown Spokane. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We like to call ourselves the Inland Northwest's premier progressive nonprofit theater. And that kind of sums up what our mission statement is, too. Back in 2011, a little history of the theater, the owner of the building that we were in, Robert Nelson, bought this little retail space downtown, right across the street from the House of Hope, down by Dick's Hamburgers on 3rd Avenue. And he wanted a space where his friends and he could get together and do a reader's theater. And they started doing those productions in 2013. Robert is very politically progressive and wanted to have a space where those sorts of ideologies could be expressed in theater. So they started this little reader's theater, and sure enough, it caught on and people loved it. So within a year, they were doing full-on productions, which he never had imagined. They never thought they'd have sets or costumes or anything like that. And sure enough, the Spokane community responded to this progressive movement. So since 2013, we've been doing full-on productions season after season until COVID hit. And then we kind of had to readjust our mindset. But Stage Left is a forward-thinking kind of theater. We're the place where queer stories can be told, where Black Lives Matter, where Indigenous people are writing plays for us. This is a little bit different than other community theaters in that we fill this niche of bringing voices to marginalized communities, people that otherwise might not have a place to tell their stories. Stage Left gives them that opportunity.
Beautiful. And one of many reasons I love having you on, because I feel like you pretty much just spoke to the mission of our radio station as well, right?
Absolutely.
Those marginalized or progressive voices that we don't hear in other spaces, but very much need that platform. So really happy to have you on today, Jeremy. So glad for you to join us. And I didn't actually know that full history of the theater. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, from humble beginnings come great things, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I have been in your theater many times. I've been in your theater. And it's the kind of sidewalk part of the storefront seems a little bit smaller. Are you like, oh, there's a theater in here? Yes, very much so. The building keeps going.
It does. Yeah, it does indeed. So. Yeah, they spent about $250,000 to gut this little retail space and turn it into a small, intimate 70-seat theater. But it seems like a tesseract. It's much bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, you know? So yeah, I love it there. I love it.
Too cool. And you said, so your title, you're managing director, correct?
Managing and artistic director, yes.
Artistic director. So I assume that means you've got a couple of years of theater experience under your belt, maybe, maybe in some different settings. How did you first get involved in theater and why?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be dating myself. I back in 1989, I received a full ride scholarship to Ohio University, and I could pursue any major that I wanted. And at first, I was going to go into English, into teaching, perhaps something like that. And I met my very first boyfriend there, Victor, and fell in love. And he was the theater's tech director at Ohio University, and of course, my young little mind was like, I want to do theater too. So I got involved in the theater and eventually ended up changing my major. I attended 3 years there. And then, you know, life happened. And I got wrapped up in the party scene of the queer community back in the early 90s. And I kind of dropped off the face of the earth for a long time. I struggled with addiction and alcoholism issues for a few decades. And then I got clean and sober in 2009. And soon after that, returned to college and got 2 degrees in graphic design. Mm. I'd always loved the arts and producing arts and culture and things like that. But I'd kind of forgotten my theater roots. And about a year into college, I stumbled into Lake City Playhouse to see their production of Sweeney Todd, the musical. And I was blown away. Like, it was so, so good. And I'd forgotten, I went by myself. So I'm sitting there just bawling like, oh my God, I forgot how much I love theater. And I got on their mailing list. This was back in 2014. And the mailing list the next week was for auditions for Les Mis, one of my favorite musicals. And at that time, I had risen to the rank of general manager of Tomato Street out in Coeur d'Alene. I'd worked in that company for about 11 years at that time. And I asked my boss, I said, look, I have some assistant managers and they're really good now. So can I change my schedule so I can audition for this show? And he said, yes, knowing my love of theater and the arts. And so I auditioned for that role and got 8 little tiny roles in Les Mis out there at Lake City Playhouse. And then I auditioned for the next show and got one of the leads. And during that time, the managing director of that theater asked me if I would paint a set for him because he knew I was into art. And I'd never picked up a paintbrush. And he told me he'd give me $600. And I said, I'll do it. So at that time, I was managing a restaurant, you know, 50 hours a week managing a restaurant. I was performing in a show at night. And then I was driving from Coeur d'Alene over here to Spokane every night from about midnight to 3 a.m. I'd be painting this set for a little show called Boeing Boeing that the Modern Theater of Spokane was doing. And the reviews came in and everyone loved the set and I had a blast doing it. And the managing director asked me if I would consider working for him. And I graduated college that month. So I was like looking for new opportunities anyway. And the pay was just low enough that it sounded like a great artistic opportunity to be a starving artist. And so I became the resident designer for the Modern Theater Spokane and Coeur d'Alene and Lake City Playhouse. That's taken me all over the country. I've been a resident designer down in San Antonio, Texas. My sets have toured the entire Southwest with different college productions. And some of my set pieces were sold to an opera house in Canada. Like the blessings of my artistic career have just blown up. It's kind of crazy. I get to be proud of it without being prideful. That's always my goal. Mm. So when I moved back from Texas for the birth of my grandchild, last 2019, August 2019, I stepped off the plane and my good friend Troy Nickerson, who is a local big time director here, said, I need you to come on an audition for this show. So I auditioned for Three Penny Opera at Stage Left Theater and became one of the leads in that. It was a wonderful experience. I had so much fun doing it. And during the course of that, it was discovered that the managing director at the time was going to be leaving at the end of the year. And he suggested that I put my name in the hat for that position. Mm-hmm. And at first I was a little taken aback. I mean, I'd managed many businesses in the past. And of course, theater had become, again, a love of my life. And so I put my name in the hat and along with a couple other people in the community. And then I had what I call the best interview of my life with their board of directors. It was just, I just felt so at home. I felt like I'd landed with my family. So January 1st of 2020, I took over stage left as the managing artistic director. And the rest is 2020 history. Lots of changes, lots of unexpected challenges. And here we are entering 2021 stronger than ever. So that's how I got involved in theater and why I stay and love it.
Oh, too cool. I think there's so many lessons in that, even just that quick little story, right? Like, first off, like, if you have opportunities, please offer them up to folks. And then when people offer you opportunities, if you are able to do it, jump on board. It might be a new adventure.
Oh my gosh. My default in life for the last 12 years has been yes. That has been my default answer. And sometimes that's put a lot of pressure on me. And I've learned to know when to say no. But when opportunities arise, it's for a reason. I believe the universe breathes into existence exactly what's supposed to happen in each of our lives. So when something is put right in front of me, and if I say yes, man, doors open that I didn't even know there were doors for. And it's been a really great adventure.
Very cool. So just so our listeners know, I did prep Jeremy with a couple questions. So one of them is kind of, I'm going to morph a little bit as we chalk along. But there's a bit of a stereotype, but some stereotypes have some real truth behind them, that theater is full of queer folks, that the LGBTQ community loves watching theater, loves producing theater, loves acting and supporting behind the stage theater. First off, do you think that stereotype is true? And second off, if it is or has some truth to it, why might that be?
You know, this is one of the questions that you did tell me that you might ask me, and I had to think about this for a minute. And of course, my experience has been that there are a lot of queer folk in theater ever since I first walked on stage. And some of the reasons I think, look, back in Shakespearean times, women weren't allowed on stage. So it was men who were playing the parts of women. And I think that probably lent itself to attracting a certain type of queer individual who was comfortable portraying a woman. Mm-hmm. And they became well-known actresses, if you will, of their time. And that kind of, set the ball in motion, if you will, for this acceptance of queer folk in the theater community. And look, you know, we're an arts movement, and arts are all about expression and about emotion and about connection. And if the queer life doesn't lend itself to that, then I don't know what does. You know, down through the centuries, really, theater has been a place where our emotions can be raw and any stories can be told. So of course, queer people are gonna be drawn to this idea of, oh my gosh, these people want to know my story. And so that's built on, you know, from more recent things like Corpus Christi, which is on our agenda to do. Our last production that we did before COVID shut down was Lonely Planet, which we partnered with Odyssey Youth Movement for. These are ways that human beings can tell stories, and really at the core of who we are as humans, that's what makes us, you know, higher than the animals, if you will. This need to tell where we came from, to tell what we're experiencing and what we're feeling. And I think that at our very best, queer people do that well. You know, I was thinking too, you know, I wonder how many queer stories are not told because of what we also experience in the queer community, this sense of maybe shame or guilt or oppression or condemnation around us. And of course, those have led to the telling of wonderful stories as well. But there's so many stories that are probably not told for the same reason. Where else can you go and say, I want to wear a giant feather hat and some gaudy sequins dress as this big bearded man? You know, the theater, that's where you can go.
Right.
So
right.
I think we're drawn to all the aspects of it, not just the emotional connection, but also the pageantry of theater. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a beautiful place where if you look at the history, especially in modern American theater, the stories that are told are explosively brilliant and gaudy and over the top, or they're quiet and lovely and simple. And that I think that draws and speaks to the queer heart more than a lot of other art forms might.
Mm-hmm. And it's I love how you shape that too, because I think also when we think of the stereotype of theater, we think of like the high school theater kids, right? Which very much is a thing. And in many, many schools, theater and choir and the arts is that safe space that tends to be where a lot of the safe adults and the go-to adults are as well for students. But this is a thing that we look at kind of through the life of a human as well, right? We need outlets of expression and queer stories throughout our adult lives, just like we do when we're teens and young adults.
Absolutely.
Oh man. So you mentioned a couple of the shows that Lonely Planet has got going with some real strong queer storylines. Do you think we as a LGBTQ community are doing a good job of telling our stories? Are there reasons that we hit those bumps if we aren't telling them well or not enough? Does that make sense?
Wow, it does. That's a good question. I think that among all communities, that the queer community probably puts its best foot forward. I think that we are going to make mistakes. Look, I have learned a lot in the last decade, even as a queer man, about how to interact with my queer brothers and sisters, how to uplift the trans community, how to be a friend to the Black queer community. I mean, there are so many outreaching arms of this community that we call queerness that we all have to learn from and through. I think that we do a better job. I don't know if that's the right term, a better job, but I think we definitely pursue the highest ideals of connectivity and support as a queer community than other communities might, for sure. Probably because our shared experience dictates that we do so, you know? I think that some emerging queer artists and trans artists are going to be making their mark on theater in ways that we cannot even imagine right now. The art that is coming out of this quarantine and this pandemic is so visceral and true and raw. I can't wait to see what plays are available to do next year, written by queer artists and performed by our queer communities. It's really, really an exciting time to be alive. You know, I think that we walk this fine line as humans between fear and excitement. And it's a tightrope for me individually and for us as a community. And I think when we lean towards excitement rather than fear, we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. You know, the excitement of Marsha throwing the first brick at Stonewall, that was exciting. It started with fear and it turned into excitement. And look what's happened since. I remember thinking how sad it was back in 1988 when I was a junior in high school that I had my first crush, that I was never going to be able to fall in love and get married. And look where we are now. It's astounding how excitement builds upon excitement when we just overcome the fear of whatever the story is that we need to tell. And I think that we're going to see a lot of great things coming out of 2020.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think we as a community are getting better at telling all parts of our stories.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yes.
Because the example I frequently use is Ryan Murphy, who is a very well-known producer. He did Glee, he did Nip Tuck. He's done a whole slew of much more queer-focused stuff for Netflix recently. Yeah, mm-hmm. So The Prom was great, and actually did a much better job than a lot of his stuff on bringing in folks of a whole variety of backgrounds. But he's still a middle-aged white gay man
who predominantly has told stories from the perspective of a middle-aged gay white man, because absolutely, those are the folks, and I very much am part of that demographic, just a couple years younger, that hold all the power within the queer community as well.
Absolutely. You know, when I first came on to lead this theater, my board of directors was 8 white people. Mm-hmm. And the very first board meeting that I had with them on January 4th of 2020, they said, okay, tell us your ideas. I said, well, the first thing we have to get past is this notion that 8 white people sitting around talking about what the minority communities need is never going to be a success, not right, in the way that you think it will. So the first thing I did was start expanding our board of directors. So now over a third of our membership is LGBTQ. A tenth of our board members are trans. A third of our board members are people of color. And this is not to toot my own horn. This is just what needs to happen. We need to, as a world, really, as a planet, to embrace, like you said, all of these different aspects of what make up our culture, especially here in Spokane. Look, we're 88% white. You know, how do I speak to the Black community if I'm not talking to the Black community? How do I speak to the trans community if I'm not talking and engaging with the trans community? So we really are, as a theater, we put forth that effort, and it's paying off in dividends. I mean, the stories that I'm hearing about why people had a problem with a past production that we staged at Stage Left, the fear of auditioning because the roles always go to white people with a certain look and body type, the idea that a female director is somewhat or somehow less than a male director. You know, all of these stories, if we open our hearts to allow people to share with us what we've done wrong, then we can start to explore what the right answer is. And we're going to continue to get things wrong. Look, I'm a middle-aged white gay man. You know, I do bring a queer perspective to this. My kid is Black, so I have a little bit of understanding about what he goes through in the community, but I'm not. So I need to surround myself with people who are going to say, look, this doesn't represent my voice. Let's talk about what does represent my voice. And we strive to do that. We strive to just move towards this sense of inclusion, and not only inclusion. I mean, like, I can include anyone. I can invite someone, you know, over to dinner, and that's inclusion. But am I willing to let them cook and take over the dinner party? You know, that's what has to happen. That's the kind of transitional mind thinking that I think is happening specifically in America, but really all around the world, is this sense of, it's not just affirmative action. Look, I can bring Black folk onto my board of directors, and that might seem like a publicity stunt, but the reality of it is I want one of them to take over for me when my contract is up. Mm-hmm. That's what the real truth of moving forward needs to look like in our community, specifically in Spokane. We have such a wealth of cultural diversity here that is untapped, because mm-hmm. we just want to include people, but we don't want to let them lead. And fortunately, we're seeing that change quite a bit across the board.
Mm-hmm. No, and I love your like dinner party cooking analogy, right? Especially with the holidays happening, even if we weren't able to gather in large groups or with our family or friends, we all can relate to that to a degree, that it's whether it be grandma or your friend from across the street or your bestie, like kind of shooing you out of the kitchen because they want control.
Absolutely.
Can also be a way of showing love, but as part of the analogy, like, I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to get a chance to be as good of a cook and a host as you are unless I get included into that as well.
Absolutely. Yep.
Too cool. So we're going to go to a quick music break here, but quick reminder that you are listening to Can You Queer Me Now? Right here on KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Always streaming live at kyrs.org. Jeremy, before we go to break, do you want to let people know where they can find Stage Left during our music break? Maybe they can search online or on social
Absolutely,
media.
Absolutely, for sure. We just have I got a chance to redesign our website back in May when we were shut down. So www.stagelefttheater.org. Theater was with an ER because we're a place and not an activity. So stagelefttheater.org is our website. The best way to stay up to date is to like us and friend us on Facebook and follow our Stage Left Facebook page. A lot of our announcements and upcoming events are always announced there first.
Terrific. So we'll be right back after this brief musical break.
You say there's so much you don't know. You need to go and find yourself. You say you'd rather be alone, 'cause you think you won't find it tied to someone else. Who said it's true that the growing only happens on your own? They don't know me and you. I don't think you have to leave. If to change is what you need, you can change right next to me. When you're high, I'll take the lows. You can ebb and I can flow, and we'll take it slow and grow as we go. Ooh, grow as we go. You won't be the only one. I am unfinished, I've got so much left to learn. I don't know how this river runs, but I'd like the company through every twist and turn. Ooh, who said it's true that the growing only happens on your own? They don't know me and you. You don't ever have to leap. If to change is what you need, you can change right next to me. When you're high, I'll take the lows. You can ebb and I can flow, and we'll take it slow and grow as we go. Ooh, grow as we go. Grow as we go. I can't promise, it's not written in the stars, but I believe that when it's done, we're gonna see that it was better that we grew up together. Tell me you don't wanna leave, 'cause if change is what you need, you can change right next to me. When you're high, I'll take the lows. You can ebb and I can flow. We'll take it slow and grow as we go. Grow as we go. Grow as we go.
Was Ben Platt singing Grow As We Go.
All right, welcome back, everyone. So happy that you're able to stay on, and whether you are streaming online at kyrs.org or tuned in at 88.1 or 92.3 on your radio dial. I know KYRS is one of my, well, two of my presets because of both those numbers on my radio, in my car. So I'm able to hear all of the things here on KYRS, including Can You Queer Me Now, where we're chatting with Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. Thanks again for joining us today, Jeremy. Oh,
thanks for asking me, Ian. I'm happy to be here.
We have been having some great conversations around theater and community and what that looks like. And I feel like it's been awesome because it's one of those, we could have this conversation and have similar topics about nonprofit work and about the small business world and about all these different things, who needs to be at the table, what stories need to be told, all those different things. But I wanted to give you a chance to share. I know there's some exciting things happening coming up in 2021 for Stage Left. So wanted to give you an opportunity. I guess, well, let me back that up a little bit. You haven't shared much about what you all have been doing during pandemic. You have really kind of pivoted and worked your buns off to make sure you can still bring theater to the community. So what have you been doing and what do you plan to do moving forward?
Boy, oh boy, yeah. I shut the theater down on the 13th of March last year, just before Governor Inslee shut down the state. And the reason was for safety. And we were sure that we were going to be reopened by May 1st. Right. So we were in the middle of rehearsals and we had to push those rehearsals back to May 1st. And then when we found out we weren't going to open in May, we had to push them back to June. And suddenly we realized, oh my gosh, none of us know when this is really gonna happen. So we had to put our entire season on hold, which was a little nerve-wracking for a nonprofit with no money coming in, no seats to be filled, no stories to tell. So we started grant writing. Joy Wood, our front of house manager, and myself started writing grants all over the place. Everywhere we could find grants to write, we did. And the first couple we were turned down. And I reached back to them and said, what did I do right and what did I do wrong? And they presented me with a list of key things that the judges had to say about it. And so we adapted that and started writing more grants. And sure enough, they started flowing in. So our grants have allowed us to stay active. And we've been remodeling the theater, both upstairs and downstairs, painting everything, clearing everything out that was broken or old or unusable. Look, theater people are pack rats. We had a whole room of things that I was like, why do we have this broken window frame? You know, and no one wants to get rid of it. So I started making the tough calls and getting rid of the broken window frames and other things like that. Back in August, Rebecca Cook, who is well known for her film work here in Spokane, brought to life via Zoom Playwrights Playground, one of our festivals that was always held on our stage, local 10-minute plays. And she did it through Zoom and it was a huge success. And we were like, oh my God, here's the model for what we can move forward. Then one of our board members, Matthias Oliver, took over our festival Kids Corner. And rather than, so it's for those who don't know, it's first graders who write one-page scripts, and then they're performed by local actors on our stage, which is a really, really cool thing. Since we couldn't be on stage, Matthias sent these scripts out to volunteer actors who then used TikTok and created their interpretation of these kids' script. And we compiled it into a 30-minute movie. And boy, they're really hilarious. And then Robert Tombari, came along. He's a local actor and producer, and he wanted to produce a monologue series. So Masterpiece Monologues was born. We've had great success with that. We just finished a Shakespeare edition, which is still live on our Facebook page. You can find it there. It's about 50 minutes long, local actors performing Shakespeare. Wonderful experience. And talking about moving in, I'll just real quick blurb this one. We're getting ready to do the Greek version of Masterpiece Monologues. So it'll be classic Greek works by local actors performed on our stage. They walk into the building, their temperature is taken, they're masked up from the time they arrive, and they take their mask off, step on stage, do their monologue, put their mask back on, and leave. There's never more than five people in the building at a time. We're all socially distanced. But we found this was a kind of a hodgepodge way of incorporating theater into the modern technology of Zoom and screen. You know, we don't want to be a film house. We never will be that. So it's a fine line to walk between how do we tell our theater stories while still being able to present them in the technological realm that we are forced to live in right now. So like I said, we've been remodeling, we've been planning things. 2021 is going to be huge for Stage Left. We were recently awarded the Spokane Arts Award from the Spokane Arts Grant Awards for their round three, which was $10,000 for us to produce 4 one-person productions and 4 festivals online. So I got together with all my producers and we mapped out what January to September is going to look like for Stage Left. We have 4 great one-person productions that are going to be filmed live on stage and streamed online. We're getting ready to do our first one, which we announced on Facebook yesterday, called An Iliad, a wonderful retelling of the Trojan War. But the actor who tells the story is also incorporating modern aspects of war and rage and man's inhumanity to man. And it's just a great exploration of how we as human beings have not learned, and will we ever learn, that it's best to be kind. And so this is going to be a beautiful story. And I'll give you a, what do you call it? A premiere announcement, if you will, that no one else has heard yet. But our second one-person show will happen in March to align with Trans Awareness Month and Week. And it will be I Am My Own Wife by Doug Wright. And it's a wonderful, beautiful story about a trans woman living through Nazi Germany. It's based on a true story. And we're so excited to have a wonderful trans actress play that part. Maeve Griffith, if anyone knows Maeve, knows that she's going to bring something startlingly wonderful to this script. So if you're hearing it here first, which you are because I haven't told anyone else, you can start to get excited for our second show too. And I'll tell you what, the shows that follow after that, we have an exploration of the Latina community coming from us from South Texas, from a writer down there that I know and love. We have stories of the Native communities and some of Spokane's past. And we have stories about the Black cultural explosion that happened during the racial tensions of the 1950s coming up too. So there's some great, wonderful stories about to be told that we hope everyone tunes in for, because like I said, theater is storytelling. And this is how we need to do it out of necessity right now is through our computer screens. But they're still beautifully wonderful. And we hope you experience them with us.
Oh, terrific. That's all very exciting stuff. I will definitely have to have you and Maeve on the show in a couple months as we get closer.
Definitely.
And it's, I've met Maeve in passing and they're an incredible advocate for the community.
Absolutely.
Kind of across the board. So that's going to be very exciting to see. And so for those kind of wanting to connect in or wanting to watch, are these being streamed online for folks? How would they access these?
Yep. So most of our festivals, our smaller productions and our masterpiece monologues productions are streamed right through our Facebook page as a live Facebook video. The 4 one-person productions are our major events for 2021. And the tickets for the first show will go on sale on January 4th. They're $20 or $15 for students, military, and seniors. And we use a streaming platform called ShowTix for You. That's ShowTix, the number 4 and the letter U, ShowTix for You. And there'll be links on our Facebook page, on our website for all of that. Those will be streamed kind of like a traditional production where we'll open on a Friday night and we'll play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the following we'll do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with Sundays being matinee shows at 2:00. So the kind of a traditional time frame for a production, but you'll be watching it through your screen and it will be filmed with multiple cameras. So we're kind of, again, walking that fine line between film house and theater, but these are important stories that need to be told. And we want to be telling them.
Very cool. If folks outside of kind of being a supporter and a viewer and a enjoyer of all these productions, how else could people get involved in Stage Left?
Wow, good question. So all of our work is volunteer work, from our set building to our box office to working the bar when we have in-person productions. Of course, most of that is put on hold right now because we're not having in-house productions. The best way to support Stage Left, I think, is to find these interconnected ways that you can support other places in the community, honestly. And I'm not saying that to be altruistic or anything. It's just the truth. You know, you brought up a great point that when you talked about how We could talk about nonprofits. We could talk about small business. We could talk about queer-owned businesses, things like that. These are all ways that you are actually supporting Stage Left. Look, every ticket that gets purchased at Stage Left in some way supports the queer youth at Odyssey, in some way supports Chicken and Mo. It's for small businesses. Like, we don't know how $1 is going to affect a vast array of community spirit here in Spokane. So, I mean, I'm not one to ask for donations. I won't do that. But the donations come, right? People support us. People support your business. People support nonprofit radio. The support from the Spokane community has been overwhelming, not just for Stage Left, but just seeing what we're doing for each other. And that's really what it comes down to. So if you have a talent or a skill or some way to that you want to contribute to Stage Left, we'll find a way to make that work. We will, even in these unprecedented non-in-person times, we'll find a way. We've had people come and help us paint the lobby, for instance. We've had people haul off dumps of broken things that were in the basement for years. Look, we had a break-in this last summer and our power tools were stolen from our back shed. And the community rallied, and I have more power tools than I know where to put now. I mean, just from people saying, hey, I have this old saw and it still works and I'm not using it. So there's just an unfathomable way that you can experience helping someone else out. And if you want to do it with the theater, just shoot me a message, admin@stageleftheater.org, and we'll find a way to plug you in. There's definitely no lack of the need to help small businesses, nonprofits, and the queer community right now.
Rock on. I love how this conversation is just naturally talked about kind of our networks and our web. And because it really is, it feels a little bit cliche, but supporting everybody across does help us all. Because I'm not in my own little silo. I need my favorite businesses and restaurants to survive so I can go and utilize them as well.
Absolutely. Definitely. So,
good stuff. Anything else? I've mostly wrapped up on my questions, but anything else you would like to tell our listeners about Stage Left or about the premier progressive nonprofit theater? Did I get that tagline right?
I love it.
So,
well, if I were to say anything, one little call to action that I'd like to put out there is, we want to tell your story, whoever you are and whatever your story is. If you're a member of the Black, the Latinx, the Native, the Asian communities here in Spokane, don't be discouraged from saying, hey, I have a story to tell. Where can I tell it? Reach out to us. We want to put your art on stage. We want to hear your scripts that tell your story. We want to cast you in shows. We want you to direct shows. We want you to lead our theater. We don't just put a mission statement out there and say, oh, this is what we're trying to do. We actually are trying to live up to that mission statement. So don't be afraid. Don't be biased from what you might have heard or seen happen in the past, even at our little theater. Take that next step, verge on excitement, get out of fear and verge on excitement, because great things are going to happen in this community and in our little theater. We're very, very excited.
So cool. And then quick reminder before we sign off and kind of get to our last song for the show on where they can contact you and where they can find out more about Stage Left.
Absolutely. So go to our website, stagelefttheater.org, and you can find all the history of our theater. You can see past productions. There are ways that you can get involved directly from our website. And then for a more immediate release of what's happening on a day-to-day level, just visit our Facebook page, like us, share us, and follow us.
Sounds great. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been a great conversation and one hopefully we'll be able to continue as these productions roll out and we get ready for even more stories to be told.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, and it's been great.
Awesome. So you've been listening to Can You Queer Me Now? Right here on KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, always streaming live at kyrs.org. Have a very queer week, everyone, and so excited to chat with you next Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio. Have a good one.